Hi, welcome to Visual Studio Toolbox. I'm your host, Robert Green, and my guest today is Larry Guger. Hi, Larry.
Robert, how are you?
Welcome.
Thank you.
Before we get into the reason we're here, I just want to announce that this is our 50th episode.
Congratulations.
So this is the golden anniversary of the Visual Studio Toolbox.
Wonderful.
50 episodes. So all of you who have watched and told other people to watch, thank you so much. Had about somewhere over 2 million views. Haven't looked lately, but it's 2 million or so views, 50 episodes. So I wanted to have a golden jubilee, you know, to rival the one the Queen had. But, you know,
no cake.
This is what our budget would allow. So we'll just say, woohoo!
Donuts afterwards.
There you go. All right, so Larry is on to talk about IntelliTrace.
That's right.
And just to refresh people's memories, IntelliTrace is...
IntelliTrace is a tool that we introduced in Visual Studio 2012, and it was
2012?
Pardon me, 2010.
2010.
Pardon me, we're going to talk about 2012. A tool we introduced in Visual Studio 2010 Ultimate, and it allows you sort of time travel back into what happened in your code before the point you're at.
Right.
And with 2012, what we've done is introduce the ability to do that, what we're calling anywhere.
Anywhere.
So you can collect really rich debugging data somewhere that you don't have Visual Studio, bring it back into Visual Studio Ultimate, and do your analysis and debugging after
cool.
the fact.
That's very, very exciting.
It's cool, isn't it?
Yep. And so that's what we're going to talk about today, the ability to use the IntelliTracing features in production, client site, without necessarily having to do it from within Visual Studio 2012, which, of course, while you're debugging and developing, you, of course, will want to use IntelliTrace
and
Ultimate, but at production, you're going to show us some additional options.
That's right.
Cool.
Absolutely.
So Larry is a program manager on Visual Studio Ultimate.
That's right.
And that's what makes you an expert on this stuff.
Well, I certainly hope so. That's what I tell people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. All so right. Set up the problem.
Okay.
What is wrong or not wrong? What is the limitation of the current scenario? What problem space are you addressing,
if you will? So we really are targeting a reasonably focused problem that customers are encountering, and we've heard a lot about. So you've deployed an application, and maybe that's out onto your client desktops within your organization. Maybe you're an ISV, you've built an application, you've sold it to customers, they have it in their environment. Maybe it's a web app. Maybe you've got it in staging, maybe it's in a test environment, maybe you're actually running this in production, and it's not behaving the way you expect.
Right.
You look at your usual logs, and you can't figure out what the problem is.
It's works something on your machine. Really tricky. It's not working.
Yep, works fine on my machine,
yes,
right?
Of course. Ship it.
Yep. So once you've got that problem in another environment that you're having a real challenge trying to figure out what's going on, that's where IntelliTrace really shines.
Right.
So you can turn us on in those environments, collect very rich debugging information, which I'll show, bring that back into Visual Studio, and examine the data that we collected for you.
Cool.
Yeah.
So that's as opposed to getting on an airplane, flying out to the customer, installing,
installing Visual Studio on that production box, right?
Yeah,
and
so
that's
expecting
just not
them to do
happen.
It for you, right?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
All right.
Yeah, let's see it.
Okay, so I want to show you a couple of things to sort of help set up what you can do here. And one of the first things I want to show you is where you can go and get our collector bits. So we sort of have two different components that you need to use here. One is Visual Studio Ultimate, which you purchase and you download and get through your usual channels. And the other one is the actual collector. So we're calling this the IntelliTrace Collector for Visual Studio 2012. This is a free download. So you go onto the Microsoft Download Center, you search for your IntelliTrace Collector, you download it, and it doesn't matter who you are or what you own or do not own, you can use this and you can collect IntelliTrace data anywhere you like.
That's key. So you call the customer and you say, go here, download this free tool.
Free
use
tool.
Use this free tool.
Free.
Send me the data.
With your free tool.
Which we can't overemphasize because that's key.
Right.
And then you can analyze it in Visual Studio Ultimate.
Correct. Yes.
Awesome.
So it's as you can see, it's a quite small download. So it's 2.2 meg. It's a really tiny kind of thing. Click on this download, and what we're going to get is that whole, you know, typical pop-up thing. Do I want to run this? And what you'll notice is it's an executable here. And I just accept this agreement. It's the usual sort of thing. let me just drop this into some location on my hard drive and make a new folder. I'm going to call this Toolbox. And I'm going to click the Extract button. So now what that does is it's going to take our bits and it's going to drop them onto your machine.
Okay, it hasn't installed anything yet.
It hasn't really installed anything. All that exe does is sort of pop that agreement, right? We need you to accept the EULA first before we give you the bits. Now if we go and take a look at what I've got on my box. So come over here, go to Toolbox. Now I've got this cab file. Mm-hmm. Okay, well that's just a zip, essentially. So it's a fancy format for a zip. You run the expand command. And if you take a look at our MSDN site here, we've got all the instructions that you need. How do I get started? Where do you go and collect this? Permissions that you need. Some nice, see, we even have nice pictures.
Nice.
Thank our designers for that. Once you've taken this, you expand it out, essentially unzipping. And I've already done that on my C drive. And you get a bunch of files dumped out. Uh-huh. Now, what I can do with these files is I can just X-copy those onto a server, and I'm ready to go.
Cool.
No installs on my server boxes, so we're not modifying those environments at all. We heard from our customers loud and clear, don't modify my environment.
Okay.
So this is an X-copy deploy. When was the last time we saw an X-copy deploy?
I can't answer that question as it would indicate my true age.
Yeah, okay, I'm sorry. Now, once you've got those bits copied over onto your environment, we enable everything through PowerShell.
Sweet.
Now, this is for the IIS scenario, or Internet Information Services for web apps. We have another scenario for collecting against desktop client applications, and that's command line. Mm-hmm. So you don't need PowerShell, just run some command line, collect against your application.
Okay.
Very similar experience to what we're going to see here.
Windows Store apps?
Unfortunately, I don't do Windows Store apps yet. Okay. Unless you're in Visual Studio Ultimate actually during the debug cycle.
Okay.
And we've got some
support
there.
That's something you're working on.
That's something we're working on.
Phone apps, is that something you'd be working
on? Not yet, no. Right. No, okay. And part of that is just that real restricted environment that
How do you install, how do you get the bits onto your phone?
That's the tricky
bit.
That's
tricky, okay. Yeah.
So what you'll probably notice here is I'm running PowerShell as an administrator. Mm-hmm. And that's not so much a requirement on the IntelliTrace components as it is on the IIS side.
Right.
When you turn on IntelliTrace, we have to recycle the application pool. Mm-hmm. Now keep in mind, it's a recycle, not a restart.
Right.
So the app will still continue to receive requests. Your running process will still handle the requests. Mm-hmm. Once the new process starts up, you've got IntelliTrace in place, and you do what you need to do. So I'm running as admin because IIS requires it. Once I've opened up PowerShell, I import our IntelliTrace modules. So that's just your standard PowerShell import module. It's in the documentation. After that, I can just go and start IntelliTrace collection.
On
a specifically targeted application
pool. Okay.
So now I want to say.
So it's the app pool?
It's the app pool.
So if you're like me and you just put every single one of your websites running the exact same pool,
then we're going to be instrumenting all of them all at the same time.
So if you're using this to investigate a particular app, you would probably want to give it its own app pool, yes?
And I think that's a best practice
for IIS
anyways.
Of course it is, right. Of course. That in itself is a best practice, which means it's something that, you know.
Yes. So, yes, if you want to do that, you'd like it in its own app pool.
Okay.
Now, we also have ways of targeting very specific assemblies within your application.
Okay.
So if you're in a multiple applications in a single app pool scenario and you can't alter that, then we can still say only target these particular modules.
Ah, cool.
And we can do some collection that focuses it that way. So I stipulate which app pool I'm interested in. Mm-hmm. And you have to tell it what collection plan that you want to use. Well, let me expand my window a bit here so we can see the whole thing. And we ship two collection plans when you unzip our files. So there's this one here called default. Start over here. Start IntelliTrace collection default app pool. Collection plan default and trace.
Okay.
And you'll notice it says ASP.NET in the name of these files. As long as this is a web app hosted in IIS and running managed code, we're fine.
Okay.
So we can do MVC, it can be WCF. Be your classic ASP.NET 3.0, whatever you need to do.
It's anything hosted by IIS.
Essentially, what it really is all about is managed code.
Okay. IIS, IIS Express, localhost.
IIS Express and localhost are typically run as part of the Visual Studio experience.
Right.
You can certainly do those. Localhost, if it's an IIS installed in your local dev box, the experience is exactly the same. Okay. Express would probably be much more into your F5 debugging experience.
Okay.
Less about the standalone collector. Once you've done that, we just want to say, where do we want to actually drop these log files that we're going to collect?
Mm-hmm.
That's all you need. So we're going to say OK. It's going to ask us to confirm. We will do that.
Yes.
And once I say, yes, I want to do this, what it's going to go off and do is going to set up some environment variables so that the CLR knows that we want to instrument a particular process. Now I'm just going to come and start up my web app.
And this doesn't require .NET 4.5, right? So the 4.0 framework, the 3.5, the 3, they're all smart enough to be told what to do.
What this requires is your application, you need to have built it using .NET 2.0.
Okay.
Doesn't matter what version of Visual Studio you are using.
Cool.
As long as it's .NET 2.0, we can instrument it. Now, IntelliTrace itself requires some .NET 3.5 binaries because we use some link. Your app doesn't have to have it, but we need that on the box so that
okay.
we can run. So I've got my app up.
Mm-hmm.
Now, last time we had this app up and it was all running and everything was good, well, recently we deployed an update. And our customers have been coming back to us and saying, hey, you know what? Since that update, you broke some of my reports. Now, I tried it on my local machine and the reports all seemed to work fine.
Right.
So we turned on IntelliTrace and we get to our customers and say, okay, can you show me the problem that you're having? And, you know, we can click through and we can see, you know, everything seems to be working fine here. I'm getting my employee stuff. I can go in and I can edit those. Yeah, yeah, that's all fine. But when I come to this reports page,
okay,
well, there's my message, right? And of course, I'm using one of those global exception handlers built
right.
into ASP.NET.
Who's Drat? I met that guy.
Drat's the guy that we always assign these bugs to. Okay.
I met some of his brothers, but I've not met Drat.
He works for my company. So I reproed the problem. Now that I've done that, I can just close my app. I can come back to PowerShell and say, all right, I've reproed my problem. I can stop my IntelliTrace collection.
Mm-hmm.
And I just need to tell it what app pool that I want to stop against. So I can actually be running this against multiple different app pools at the
right.
same time. So I can turn them on and off.
And this is typically something you're going to do to target a specific issue. You're not just going to leave this on for
right.
general collection.
Right. And the reason for that is we collect a lot of
yeah.
information. So it's very, very rich
mm-hmm.
because the intent here is we want to help you solve a difficult problem.
Right.
And we can't just have lightweight data to solve those difficult problems. We need to go deep. So to go deep means it's a lot of data. You don't want to have this running all of the time.
Right.
So now that I've finished that, I can go and take a look at where I've dropped my log files. Right, and that's just in this logs folder. And we'll see this very intuitively named file.
And that's also, I mean, that right there is 30 megabytes. So
yes.
if you had this running nonstop.
Right. By default, what we're going to do is we're going to cap it to 100 meg. And once the 100 meg for the log file gets filled,
mm-hmm.
we'll start to truncate the old stuff, load in the new stuff. So it's sort of a rolling log.
Oh, okay.
So if it reaches the max size, we'll continue to collect the latest. Now, something that I kind of like to point out here is, notice that I'm not running Visual Studio.
Right.
Okay. I don't have a solution open. I don't have a project open. There's no code anywhere to be seen in front of us. There's nothing up my sleeves, right? So I'm going to double click on this IntelliTrace file and as you would expect, it launches Visual Studio.
Assuming you have it.
Yes.
Yes.
Visual Studio Ultimate 2012. Magic happens. Now that I'm in Visual Studio, I get this IntelliTrace summary page. And this is a high-level view of what happened while we were recording your application
mm-hmm.
execution. And you can see the first thing that we're going to show you is here's a bunch of exceptions that we recorded. Now, anybody that's done any web development knows that there's a bunch of exceptions
right.
that just happen.
Yep.
You can ignore them. You know, these thread abort exceptions, you do a redirect within your app, threads get aborted.
Mm-hmm.
Typical behavior, you don't need to worry about those. And we can scroll down, there's a whole bunch of them. But when you start to see something like a null reference exception.
You can't ignore that.
Can't ignore that. We'll come back to that.
Dreaded object
in
reference
just
not set to
a
an
minute.
Instance of an object.
Yeah. We all know that one, don't we? Another view that I'd like to show you is this web requests.
Ah.
And here's where we capture all of the requests made into the server.
Mm-hmm.
Now, something that's interesting that shows up in this particular view. If this was a first time I'd ever hit that web application, what you'd see listed here is you'd see a bunch of JS files, a bunch of CSS files, some JPEG files, right? Mm-hmm. All of the requests into the server to give me all of those other files.
Right.
Now, the fact that I'm not seeing them here tells me that they're cached in my browser. That alone can help you resolve some of those problems you might be having with the JavaScript file if the browser's cached an older version.
Right.
Okay. Now, I know that my problem was with my employees report.
Mm-hmm.
So I can search in here, filter down to all of the interesting things, and here's my employees report.
Okay.
What I'm going to do is I'm going to take a look at the details behind that request into the server. And you'll see here I've got a bunch of different IntelliTrace events that were recorded. And we can scroll down through those, up and down, and I've got this null reference exception.
Mm-hmm.
We can see the time that was taken as part of this request, the URL that was requested, the method was a get or a post, so you can really sort of get some of that REST style API information
mm-hmm.
showing up in here. So now that I can see that I made some database calls, some XML files were loaded, and after all of that, we ran into this null reference exception.
Right. Repeatedly.
Repeatedly. So what's interesting about that, and I'm glad you brought that up, the ASP.NET framework itself takes care of a lot of exception handling.
Mm-hmm.
So since this is all within a single request, you can make the assumption, and it's a valid assumption, that this is actually the same exception that was thrown, caught, rethrown, caught, rethrown, until it bubbles up to that topmost global
right.
exception handler that ASP.NET kind of goes, well, this is your last chance.
Yep.
And if I didn't have my little draft message, you'd be seeing that yellow screen of death.
Yes.
So I can start debugging at this exception point. So I click on my start debugging, and what we want to do is start taking a look at them over here. And I can see the same data over here. I can start to filter on what threads were used. I can also filter on different mm-hmm. categories of IntelliTrace events. And I want to narrow it down. Maybe I want to look at just my ADO.NET calls and my exceptions.
Mm-hmm.
Now I can see what was going on in a much more concise view than all of the other data that we recorded. And I can take a look at some of these other exceptions. Now, let me just bounce back to that summary page again. Let me minimize this. And let's go up and come back to these exceptions. So again, same view, right? This is the same exception, different ways of displaying it. I can select my exceptions in here. And what I'll show you is the call stack behind that exception. Now I can kind of say, oh, well, this one here, this is all framework code that was handling the exception. Take a look at this one. Now I can say, oh, there's my Fabricant fiber.
Right.
Let's start debugging that exception and see what happens.
Cool.
So now I'm at the point in my mm-hmm. code where the exception was thrown.
Right.
Now remember, when I started up Visual Studio, there was no code loaded. So yep. we've gone out and magic has happened, right?
This
I've loaded code for you.
That's what it's doing, yeah.
Now what happened is I was able to resolve the symbols. Real important. You need to be tracking your symbol files
mm-hmm.
as we start to use IntelliTrace in systems where you've deployed your code. Where are the matching symbols for that deployed code? As long as Visual Studio knows where to find them, we can load up your symbols. Your symbols will tell me where your source code is loaded. Now if you're using TFS to do your builds and you're managing your symbol files in there using symbol server, and you've got source indexing turned on your build, doesn't matter whether you've got your symbols on your box or they're sitting out on your symbol server, that data is embedded in the binaries.
Mm-hmm.
We know where your symbol server is. We'll go and look there. We'll load the correct code file from TFS. Now, what's really awesome
Excellent.
About this is if you've gone and you've modified this, you're still working on the app. You're
right.
working on version 7 now, and you've got version 5 out on this customer site. Doesn't matter how many times you've changed it. If you've got that whole TFS build environment going for you,
mm-hmm.
we'll pull back the right version right. of that source file, load it up in Visual Studio for you automatically. And now what I can start to do is I can start to look at what was really going on. Now, typically what customers are going to do is they're used to being in a debug environment. You hover over something and you expect to kind of see what's going on there. Mm-hmm. Well, we tell you, Teletrace, this isn't live, right? This is a recording. You want to be looking in your locals window. So let's just pin that. And if we expand this out, we can see there's my null reference exception. Make this a little smaller. And in my code, since I was using the trace mode, I collect calls information. And that's all of the method calls that were made during this run. Once I have that level of data, I can start stepping backwards through the execution. Mm-hmm. So I can step up. And as I navigate backwards through the execution, I can see down here that this method call, get customer summary, a null customer was passed into it. Well, there's my problem.
Yeah, no wonder.
But really, the root of my problem isn't the fact that it was a null customer that was passed in that I didn't handle. Where did that null customer come from? And that's really more interesting.
Why is it null in the first place?
So I'm going to keep navigating backwards. Now what you see, I've loaded up a new code file.
Mm-hmm.
Automatically, no solution open. And I can see where that get customer summary method was called from. I can continue, and if I look at the methods down here, I can see null customer was passed in. And I can continue up the stack until I see off of this summary object, the employee, well, that was James Kennard.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so really, how come James Kennard, who's got this ID of 4, why doesn't he have any customers? That's the root of my problem. So when I coded this up initially, I just naturally assumed all of my employees were going to have customers.
Right.
And I've got a situation here where one of my employees doesn't actually have any customers associated with them yet.
James cannot be trusted with customers. Everybody knows that.
I've heard that a couple of times. So now I kind of understand the business logic that I missed.
Mm-hmm.
So I never anticipated having an employee with no customers.
Right. And of course, in your sample data when you were testing this, you didn't violate that rule.
I always had customers associated. Yeah.
Awesome.
So now I've been able to look at the data that was actually driving this in a system where I didn't have Visual Studio installed. Doesn't match what I've got in my test environment because, like you said, I've got customers and all my employees. So it really allows me to drill down into what was going on in that other environment that I hadn't anticipated.
Yeah. So it gives you the full features of IntelliTrace in Visual Studio 2012 based on the app running somewhere else.
Somewhere else.
Very, very cool.
It is, isn't it?
Yeah.
I kind of like it.
I've seen this now with you several times. It's still really cool.
Thank you. Thank you. Appreciate that. Yeah. We think it's a real winning scenario.
So web apps, additional apps, Silverlight, WPF, WinForms.
Ultimately, we're focusing on two scenarios to begin with. Web apps hosted in IIS, as long as it's got the managed code. And we have some support for client apps.
Okay.
So your traditional desktop applications. Now, what's interesting about what we've done here is this is all based on CLR code. However, your application doesn't necessarily have to be entirely .NET code. So if you're building a plugin for something like Word, and your plugin is written in .NET, you could still run this against Word, which is mostly managed, or pardon me, native code. And as soon as the managed code gets loaded, IntelliTrace will kick in, and we'll start recording what goes on within the managed code portion.
So where do you, how do you start that from PowerShell?
That is not done from PowerShell.
Ah.
So we were thinking about this scenario and we figured, well, if this is a client, a desktop sort of environment, you may be dealing with some information worker that's got this on their desktop environment. They may not have PowerShell enabled there.
Or administrative rights.
Or administrative rights. So for that, we've enabled it strictly through the command line.
Okay.
No admin rights required. We give you the full description and everything you need to know on our instruction page here. So we can talk about all of the different ways that you can use it right in here.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really just a command line. The bits are provided with that cab. Let me just find. So collect data from a managed app.
Okay.
And it's just this simple command line that you need to run.
Mm-hmm.
We use it to launch, give it the collection plan, just like I showed you with the PowerShell. Mm-hmm. And you could use that ASP.NET collection plan for a client app. And of course, what's going to happen is there's no web bits in there, so we just simply won't record that.
Okay.
Still use the same collection plan. Where do you want to drop the log file? So that's your output. And then you give it your target executable, myapp.exe.
Right.
And when you run this command line, it will spin up your app, and IntelliTrace will all be configured.
So for a Word add-in, is the executable the DLL that represents the add-in?
Nope.
Or is it Word?
Would be Word.
Word, okay.
Yeah, so you'd actually run this against
so
Word.
So if you had five add-ins that load when Word loads, it would just be looking at all of them.
It would look at all of them,
okay.
Right. So we instrument at the process level.
Right.
Right, okay. So everything that would be happening within that process for managed code.
But you said you can target a DLL, so you could target your add-in, right?
That's right.
Okay.
Right. For the very rich extra data, when I was talking about the calls information, you can target that very specifically.
And if there are add-ins that other people have written?
We'll get those for you, too.
But you're not going to show me the source code, right?
I won't be able to resolve to source, because once you open this up in Visual Studio, I need to be able to find those source files. Now, unless, of course, they've published those source files for you, which is unlikely, you're not going to get to source for those.
Yeah. So you'll get just some general information, but you're not going to be able to see the source. This isn't a way of...
This is not a way of hacking somebody
else's DLL.
No, it is not.
Okay.
No. So
cool.
It's still very dependent on you having your source files.
So now you said that there's two collection plans. There's ASP.NET Trace.
And ASP.NET Default.
Default. So what's the difference between those? And it begs the question, can I write my own? Why would I? Will you be doing additional ones? So many good questions.
There are lots of good questions. So let's go and take a look at tools options for IntelliTrace. And really, a collection plan is an XML representation of what we got in tools options. So when we open up tools options, you can see I've got IntelliTrace events only.
Mm-hmm.
Or I can change it to IntelliTrace events and call information. The first setting here maps to that default collection plan.
Okay.
The second setting maps to the trace collection plan. So those are basically the primary differences. Now, with the IntelliTrace events, here are things that we are going to collect for you.
Okay.
So ADO.NET calls. And we saw some examples of that, right? ASP.NET, if an error page was presented during the running of the application, you know, when were pages requested? We saw great examples of that. We have the ability to collect a whole bunch of console events, data binding, environment variables, file access, read, writes, gesture events like button clicks and whatnot.
So the schema to turn those on and off is documented somewhere in the XML
So we have
file?
A we have a very nasty XML file that you can actually go and tweak, but one of the great things is we rely on our community a lot,
right?
As you're well aware. So let me just take you out to CodePlex. We go out into CodePlex, and I do a little search for IntelliTrace here. One of the first things that you're going to find is this IntelliTrace collection plan configurator.
Mm-hmm.
Take a look at this.
Who created this.
So this is one of our great MVPs.
Let's give.
And this is Vlatko.
Vlatko. Let's give Vlatko a shout out.
Vlatko is fabulous. He's done great work on this. And if you take a look at this, it looks just like the tools option settings.
Mm-hmm.
Except it's a standalone little application. You point it to a collection plan.
Cool.
And now you have some nice graphical UI.
Okay. Sweet.
So we're relying on the community to give us that support there, which is fabulous. It means we can focus on adding more value into the feature itself. The last thing in here is modules. Now, this one can be a little bit tricky to sort of understand. And we have two modes here, collect data from all but or collect data from only.
Okay.
And this applies only to that calls information. That's that tracing, right? So by default, we're going to say, don't collect from any modules that have been signed with these keys, and those are the Microsoft keys.
Okay.
So let's not bother instrumenting that because we're not going to give you the source and you're not going to be able to change it anyway. Now, if you wanted to target your assemblies, which we've mentioned a few times now, come in here and I just want to remove all of these.
I see, and then add your own.
I want to add my Fabricam. Add that.
Okay.
Now, when I run IntelliTrace collection, that calls information where I'm navigating up and down and I can look at, see what method called, mm-hmm. which other method and all that, I'm only going to record the details for those methods for any module that's got Fabricam in the file name.
So this is a good reason to use that configurator, because what you're doing right now is setting this at a global level in Visual Studio.
Correct.
Whereas what you probably want to do is have specific configuration files for specific scenarios.
Absolutely.
Right, okay.
Absolutely.
And is there a way from within Visual Studio to export what you said here as an XML?
No, not today.
Okay, so then you'd go use the configurator,
yes.
which is,
yeah.
which
is
easy
why
to use yeah. as this, since it's, it looks exactly like
almost
it.
Exactly the
cool.
same.
All right.
Yep. Yeah, so that's sort of in a nutshell, mm-hmm. kind of the abilities that we have, the different ways of turning the knobs, so you can get really, really rich data, or
okay.
you can get more point data, which are those IntelliTrace events.
Okay.
And it all depends on what you're after.
Let's assume that development is free and your time is limitless.
Sure.
Okay, so I'll play unrealistic customer. So right now I collect this information up to 100 megabytes and then I send it to you.
Yes.
Is there a way for me to stream it to you live? Send it to you automatically, or how about this, stream it to you live so that you're actually watching this in Visual Studio as it occurs, and we're on the phone, and you say, oh, wait, do that again.
Right, right. Fabulous, fabulous scenarios. We've really thought about that.
Probably take a couple days to develop. Right?
A little bit, yeah, we need to do a bit of work there. The challenge we thought about with that scenario was the amount of data that we'd actually have to be streaming.
Mm-hmm.
And we think it's a fairly intense amount. And it would be happening and coming into Visual Studio so rapidly that you wouldn't really have time to digest it as it's
okay.
coming in real time. So we feel the log file is a better format
mm-hmm.
because you have your time where you can really start to dig in and go back and forth as it's streaming in. Things would be flying by you so fast, you'd kind
yeah.
of go, whoa,
right,
hey, stop, can I go back? And one thing, when you have that log file and you've got this 100 meg log file, they compress very nicely.
Mm-hmm.
Zip it up.
Okay.
Send it out, and that'll be a much easier way than trying to figure out how to get a 100 meg file over to somebody.
Right.
Yeah. Mail them a USB key.
Okay. Cool. Or what they could do, if they happen to have Visual Studio 2012 Ultimate, they can open up their own file.
Absolutely.
And, you know.
Absolutely.
Depending on who they are, their sophistication, they could look at it themselves and then report back to you what they found.
Sure. Sure. And really, one of our largest target customer segments in this are large enterprises,
right?
Where most of this is going to happen in-house. They're going to have the apps on their own internal customers,
yep.
desktops, their own servers, all of
yeah.
that.
That's a good point. It's not necessarily the case where you developed and then the customer runs it remotely. It could be the case where I developed it, you implemented it, we're on the same floor,
mm-hmm.
and you come to me and say, hey, it's busted. So I then tell you, okay, put these, you collect the data and then drop it here and then I'll go look at it.
And
so
that's
the in-house yeah. scenario is just as likely as the off-prem scenario.
And the,
right?
and the testing environment and the staging environment, we think are,
yeah.
are just huge opportunities to really stop a lot of that, oh, what's going on in my
right.
staging server? Why isn't it working there?
Mm-hmm.
Well, instead of having to try and figure out how do I debug that environment, use IntelliTrace there as well.
So. You mentioned staging, so what about Azure? Can you run this on stuff hosted in Azure?
Yes. The experience is a little bit different with Azure. So you don't use our standalone collector. You still need to have Visual Studio Ultimate. And when you actually do a deployment to your Azure environment, there's the ability to enable IntelliTrace for that deployment.
Okay.
You deploy out into your Azure environment. You've turned on IntelliTrace as part of that deployment. You repro the problem, or even just do that when you're first deploying to find
okay.
out if you're going to have any hiccups. And then within Visual Studio, you can ask Azure to send you the log file.
Okay.
And then Azure will send down the log file.
One of the reasons for that is because you can't, well, you can remote into an Azure machine and,
right.
and put
right.
files
now,
on it and then go get them back. But
if you've got that setup going, and you've got the remote desktop enabled for Azure, you can certainly do it exactly like I
okay.
showed you here.
Okay.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So it really sort of depends on how you're leveraging Azure
mm-hmm.
and what kind of sites that you've got and what sort of experience that you're looking
okay.
for.
And then I mentioned it earlier, but when Windows Store apps, Windows Phone Store apps? Is it?
Not yet.
How much of it is a technical issue versus just timing?
It's a little bit of both.
Okay.
So those environments, they're very, very secure.
Yes.
Right, as we would expect. Right. The ability to hack into those environments is extremely limited. They're locked down, they're secure. It's hard to write from within those applications out into any other environment.
Yeah.
So you can't get in or out.
Okay.
Which is part of the challenge, right? So it's a very constrained environment. And IntelliTrace relies on the ability to do certain things,
mm-hmm.
which we don't necessarily want to enable in those environments. So it's
right.
a bit of a,
okay.
geez, I want to debug that, but I don't want users to be able to hack into that environment.
Right, not to mention just the practical issue of how do you get files onto the device, and
yes.
then how do you get things off of the device, where is that information stored? You know, you've got there's limitations to what you can write to,
yep.
In terms of not only the built-in abilities, but then the capabilities you declare.
Yeah,
okay,
all of that. A lot of challenges there.
Okay,
we don't think they're insurmountable.
Mm-hmm.
Things that we're definitely looking at and working hard towards.
Cool. All right.
Okay.
Anything else?
Before I let you go. Oh, okay.
While we're on this topic of IntelliTrace,
yes.
Just in general, what are some of the highlights on what's new in IntelliTrace in 2012?
That standalone collector is kind of a really, really big thing,
okay.
right? So the ability to go out and collect anywhere. And that was something that we heard in 2010 loud and clear from everybody. I want to be able to do this all over the place. Don't constrain me to Visual Studio.
Mm-hmm.
So we really focused on that when we were looking at some of these, the start page. So this whole web request debug experience, this is all new.
Mm-hmm.
We've got some great stuff coming up as well. As I'm sure you're aware, right, we're moving to a much faster release
yes.
cadence.
Mm-hmm.
Coming up soon, you're going to see some great support for SharePoint developers, very specific to
cool.
them.
Okay. Awesome. All right.
Thank you.
Thanks for coming on.
My pleasure.
Hope you enjoyed that. This is just really cool stuff. So hope you found this useful. Thanks again for watching this show. Thanks for watching it enough to let me keep doing it. And I'm looking forward to the next 50 episodes. We're absolutely going to have a big party when I hit 100.
Absolutely.
Episodes, of course.
Yes.
There will also be
yes.
a big party when I hit 100, but we'll worry yeah. about that later. All right. See you next time on Visual Studio Toolbox.